Christ Presbyterian Church is a local congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Visit us for morning or evening worship in Mobile, Alabama, or on the web at cpcmobile.com.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Our topic this evening is the Father as Creator. We are going to be looking at the idea of the role of the Father in creation. It's a continuation of our series on the Trinity. Specifically, though, on the Father in creation and salvation. So we're going to look at the role of the Father in weeks to come in providence, that is, in the working out of history. We're going to look at the role of the Father in salvation. We're going to look at the role of the Father in the new heavens and new earth. There's going to be a lot of ways that we're going to look at the Father. And then we're going to move on to the Son. And then we're going to move on to the Holy Spirit. We looked last week at the Father's role as elector, as the one who makes and executes the act of electing. This week, we look at his role in the act of creation. And you might be thinking, is this a debatable topic? Of course the Father created. Who else created? In fact, he spoke in Genesis 1:1, and if you were to pick up your handy-dandy Apostles' Creed and pay close attention, it's going to read the exposition of creation in these words. "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church," yada, yada, yada. Now, why does it say in the Apostles' Creed that only the Father was the Creator? Jesus wasn't mentioned as creator. Colossians chapter 1 literally says it. John 1 literally says it. Why does the Apostles' Creed leave it out? Why is the Holy Spirit, who is literally brooding over the waters in Genesis 1, 2, why is he not spoken of as creator? And you might come away thinking, see, the Father alone creates, but the Son and the Spirit don't. No. That's actually not true. The Father does create, But as we'll see in a second here, the Son is the one through whom all things were made. That is, the Son was the one through whom the Father created. And the Spirit is the one who affects it on in creation, who affects it on earth. This appears to be the reason why he broods over the water as the one who is implementing the Father's spoken creative words. In fact, I think this whole concept is beautifully created in the Nicene Creed, which is written a few hundred years later, where it says, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were made. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." Yes. Thank you for admitting the Trinity in creation. But that's just not convenient to say, because it's actually the biblical position. Now, we're going to handle the Spirit and the Son's roles in creation later when we get to those in those series. But for now, tonight, I just want to focus on the role of the Father. Our main point this evening is going to be that the Father is the one who speaks creation into existence. He is the speaker. He is the one acting. He is the executor of the act. But we will not start in the usual place. I know that you would want for me to go to Genesis 1:1, and we're just going to knock it out, call it a day, go home. But I want for you to look at it through the lens of John 1:1 through 3. The text is focusing primarily on Christ's role as God and creator. This is John 1:1 through 3. But that shouldn't be to the neglect of the actual other person in the text. So let's briefly read again, just John 1:1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now, I'm not really interested all that much tonight in spending our time talking about Christ. Rather, I want to talk about the Father in this text. Because as he starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," we have to stop. Again, the tendency is to focus on Jesus. But you can't let it slide that not only is Jesus present, is not only is Jesus eternal, not only is Jesus self-existent, which is the point of John 1, but the Father is too. The Father's there with him. God, the Word, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, the one who becomes Jesus incarnate, was there with God. So before creation began, before time began, before there were angels, before there were demons, before there were seraphim, before there was even a heaven and a hell, before creation there was just God. No one and nothing else. The Trinity existed in a state of eternal self-glory and bliss. And the Word was there. The Son was there. The Father was there too. In fact, you might be thinking, you know what, John 1:1 sounds a lot like Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word." You know what? That sounds like that's an intentional allusion. It is. It is. In fact, John 1:1, you might be able to state that John 1:1 is actually talking about the coexistence of the Godhead. We're all in Genesis 1 that we see is just God himself, the one person. It's elaborating. But the Word was there. And that is, Jesus in his pre-incarnate state was there, but also was the Father. In an eternal, familial state. with the Son. Constant love between the two. Constant boasting and glorying between the two. Not to the exclusion of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's clearly there too, just not referenced in our text. Now, when you read that the Word was with God, that doesn't mean that the Word wasn't God. Because right after, the Bible's going to say exactly that. Rather, the Holy Spirit, through John, is talking about the person of the Word, the person of the second person of the Trinity. And therefore, the Word is a reference to the Son of God, and God is a reference to God the Father. He's talking about persons. Now, another way of saying all of this is that is the Son and the Father existed together before time, before creation began, not needing you, not necessarily in the moment wanting you, but enjoying themselves. At this point, there's no time, there's no creation, there's no history. Time, creation, history, the universe are all creations of God. But there was a situation where God existed in the plurality of the Godhead, and He was and is infinitely blessed and happy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. But through no external reason, nor any internal need, God glorified Himself to create. To create the universe. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, the text is emphasizing that all things were made through the instrumentality of Jesus. But if Jesus is the instrument, it has to lead you to ask, who's the one wielding the instrument? The Father. All things were made is the passive tense of the verb. So it's no less true that God the Father made all things through the instrumentality of His Son. So then, it seems pretty obvious to me that as the Father chose the Son in election, as we saw last week, in the election of His people before time began, so the Father chose the Son to be the instrument by which He would make all things. There's an act. There's an intentional choosing. Now that means a few things. To create something isn't merely to create something to exist. To create something is to bring something into existence and to imbue it with purpose with a purpose for which you created it. You can't create something that is purposeless. I know, much to the chagrin of the atheist, I know they're hurt about that one, but you can't have a purposeless thing. That's not possible. The purpose of a thing is its goal, is the goal of its use. It's, as we put it in our catechism, its chief end. And so God the Father imbued all creation as He not only created it, but He imbued to it a goal. But not only a goal for the whole, a goal for every single possible individual thing within creation. For every single hair on your head, for your skin, for the pulpit, for the mic, for the building, for Mobile, Alabama, for the state of Alabama, for the world. It doesn't matter what we could get into. All things are intentionally created for the purpose of glorifying God. It doesn't matter if you can find that purpose or not. Now, beautifully, all things individually and all things as a whole are imbued with the exact same goal: the glory of God the Father and the coming again of Jesus in his kingdom. What does it mean? What is a goal? What's a chief end? What does that matter? What does it mean? We can take a baseball bat. Think of a baseball bat. The cause of a baseball bat might be the men operating the sending machines at Louisville Slugger. Okay? And the definition of a baseball bat might be a cylindrical-like wooden instrument used by a batter. Yeah. But the goal of a bat is to hit balls and win games. The cause, the definition, and the goal are all different things. But God, when He created, didn't just determine what things would exist. He also gave all things their definition. He didn't just imbue them with a purpose. He defined them for us. So that we can know that man is man and man is not woman. That woman is woman and woman is not man. So that we can understand what the world is around us by His imbuing them with value and definitions. So He gives all things their goal and all things their definitions. He defined and gave purpose to the stars like Orion's belt, to the Crab Nebula, to Cassiopeia. He gave definition and embedded the chief end within rocks and pines, oaks and pines, rock and mountain, the great sea creatures to the tiniest fish, plankton even. He created man. He created your body, your soul, your mind, your heart, your emotions, your dreams, your appetites, and gave them all their definition, gave them all their distinctions, and embedded into them the purpose for which they were created, that is to glorify Him. You know what that means? That means your tongues, your words, your musical abilities, your songs were all made, were all defined, all have the purpose of glorifying Him. We could even think of it this way. God even made the heart and the souls that deny Him and the words used to curse His name. As one famous Reformed apologist would put it, you cannot even deny God without every instrument you use to deny Him presuming His existence and proving His existence. That makes denying Him pretty futile. But there is another aspect to all of this that Genesis 1, 1 through 2 does touch on. If you can turn in your Bibles to Genesis 1, we're going to look at 1 and 2. And Moses, by the Holy Spirit, puts it this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. God made the cosmos when there was nothing. Earlier, we said the Father and the Son are eternal and they are coexistent in eternity past. But here what we have is a God who stands outside of nothingness. Whatever that even means. I don't know how you can get outside of nothingness. And creates, powerfully speaks, wills, chooses, effects an entire universe and cosmos for His glory. This doctrine is called creation ex nihilo. But God didn't make the cosmos out of nothing. That doesn't make sense. It's literally impossible. Nothingness can't be the source of somethingness. Right? Nothingness can't be the source of creation. It's not like God reached into his can of nothingness and brought out the rabbit of creation. Okay? There was nothing. And then suddenly, by the word of his power, there was a universe screaming in symphonic harmony, glory to God. He created, and what effected creation was the word of his power. Now, that doesn't mean that God was somehow drained of power, because, again, no matter how much energy it would have taken for God to create the universe, if you take any amount and subtract it from an infinite power source, you come to the conclusion of infinity still. So it doesn't matter. God didn't lose any part of him when he created. He spoke and it was. And it is primarily here the Father choosing to act according to now combining John 1 and Genesis 1. It is the Father who is the one deciding, the one acting, the one executing his will to bring about all existence. And not just bring it about, to make it teem with life, to make it teem with beauty, to make it teem with purpose, to set its end in its sight, and to make it all go toward one inevitable end. His glory at the return of Christ and towards the new heavens and new earth. God the Father executed that. All praise to him. Thank you.